Welcome back to hour number two of Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. And as promised, we're going to visit with Nathan Montgomery. He is the executive director of Salt and Light. And they've got a big grand opening coming up on Thursday. We'll talk about that a little bit. And, Nathan, nice to have you here in our new studios. I know you're on with the early morning crew a little bit later, but we've got a little more time here this morning. And I wanted to take you back to the time where I can still see it now. I was there at the time, and they were shouting, "Move that bus."
It's hard to believe that that was eight years ago.
I was talking to somebody about Ed Bond about that this morning, how long ago that's been. 8 years ago. Is it? Did that show still on the air? Are they still?
No, going? Actually, we were, I think, the next to last season. So they had one more, maybe two more, and that was it. So,
for the benefit of the people that don't know, why don't I just explain a little bit about what happened there.
Yeah, so we were nominated for the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Ty Pennington and all of that craziness, and we ultimately were chosen, and they showed up, and we didn't know, much like the show makes it appear, we really didn't know till they showed up actually at Salt and Light to kind of announce everything. And then, from there, it was a blur for a week of just activity as we're filming and whisked away while the work is happening on the house, and then ultimately coming back to finish all the filming. And, yeah, it was a pretty awesome experience.
Yeah, they sent you away for how many days? So while they got in there and fixed the house?
Yeah, we were actually at Disney for 4 days. And so it's interesting, the builders actually over the years would compete against one another to see how much time it took. So they had kind of a running clock. And of course, they would turn it off if ever they had to stop in order for filming to happen. And so our builders said it was 96 hours was the actual build time for the house, which is unbelievable to me.
Amazing. If it hadn't been on television, hadn't been a part of his show, would have taken about a year.
Yeah. Yeah, typically I don't think they go up that fast.
Well, you're still in the house?
Yeah. Yeah, we're still in Philo. We've been there, 19 years now, almost 20. And so yeah, we've been in Philo because I'm from Champaign originally, area born and raised. My wife grew up in Urbana, moving to St. Joe in high school. And so we're both from the area, but we moved there when our oldest was about 3. And so he turns 22 in January.
Three things I remember about Philo specifically. That is one of them, move that bus. The other was Stevie J climbing the tower, doing a broadcast from the tower down at Water Tower, I guess, down at the Philo. And the third is the Philo Tavern.
Yeah, there's not necessarily a ton of different notoriety for our small town, but those are certainly three at the top of the list.
Okay, where did the idea come from for Salt and Light, and how that get started? And we're going to kind of talk about how it's built and how we're going to go into the expansion tomorrow.
Yeah, so we actually opened our doors in January of 2014, and it was really the result of just some area folks, me being one of them, being a part of discussing our faith and how we live that out, and ultimately the model we chose was that of Jesus and meeting people where they were at, meeting their needs and going from there. So we established initially as a food pantry and a clothing closet. So your typical kind of one-way giving model, and opened our doors with that in 2004. And I was 26 at the time. And so honestly, I didn't have a clue what I was signing up for when I was asked if I'd be interested in being the executive director. And after that, over the following 10 years, really obviously grew with the organization and learned and educated myself as it related to poverty, both locally, regionally, nationally, and the systems that we use to engage it. And so it was a really awesome opportunity and process for me to just be present and a part of the community that I love and helping those that were here all along the way, learning a lot more than I ever would have through reading a book.
No regrets, I take it.
No, it's the journey, obviously the direction that we chose when my wife and I really prayed about whether or not, okay, is this something you know, that we should do, that we felt like, you know, God had been moving and leading. And so it was still a difficult decision to kind of move away from, you know, climbing the corporate ladder into this kind of work. But it's been every day an opportunity to just, one, be a part of community and see, and for me, see God move in ways, learn people's stories. I think that's the thing that often we forget as we move about in our community, is that everybody has a story, and no story is as simple as it seems. And I think that it's Salt and Light, it's no different. There are so many stories of individuals who often, for one reason or another, have been discarded by society. And so the opportunity to come alongside and walk with them as they walk with us is really a privilege. And it's been a blessing just to be a part of the lives of so many in our community.
Now, as I understand it, some of the people that you helped at the beginning are now employed by you?
Yeah. So, you know, we went through a big change in 2014 where we transitioned from the one-way giving model with where people line up and get bags of groceries, into one in which we really engage the people, reinforcing that they are someone of value and worth who has skills, gifts, and abilities, and providing opportunities for them to utilize their own capacity to acquire the resources they need. And so we transition into the model we have now, where our participants volunteer at area nonprofits and earn store credit at a minimum wage that they can then use to shop in the grocery and the thrift, thereby acquiring those resources their family needs in a much more empowering process. And so especially throughout that, we've had the opportunity to see volunteers become entry-level employees and then move up through the ranks, and as well as actually see participants move into other employment through working with them.
This must be fulfilling to those people, because despite what some may think, not everyone wants to be in the position of having everything given to them. And here's an opportunity for them to continue to get what they need to keep going in life, and yet working a little bit. And so it's kind of a two-way street then.
It is, you know, and that's, I believe that we were designed and created to work, right? And when we do, we're stepping into the fullness of who it is we were created to be. And you can see, unfortunately, our one-way giving systems over time, over decades, have created, instead of helping move people forward, have really created dependency and entitlement while diminishing the individual and disempowering them in the process. And so for us, this isn't about a punitive, oh, people should have to work for it. No, it's recognizing that everyone needs a sense of purpose. You know, when we meet someone and we talk and introduce ourselves, often one of the first things that comes up is, well, what do? Right? Well, imagine if you have nothing to fit into that answer. And so it's been awesome to see people identify a sense of purpose that brings meaning and then allows them to see themselves often in a way that they never have. And that is someone who is capable, who has something to offer, something to contribute, not just in their own family, but in the community that they're a part of.
Now, you mentioned the grocery and thrift store. What else do you have out there?
Yeah, so our grocery and our thrift that we actually have both Champaign and Urbana. In addition to those, we have different forms of educational programming. So we have a computer technology center that we're opening in Urbana that's much larger than the one that we currently have in Champaign, that is basic access to that resource as well as opportunities for classroom instruction. In Urbana, we are also adding a child care room. That's something new for us. Something that we've seen over the years is access to safe and reliable child care being an obstacle, right, for people to participate in our programming, but also to be able to take classes and move forward in life in general. And so in Urbana, we're going to be providing child care for our participants who are either working on site or attending classes on site. And so we're really excited about that offering. And then really our educational classes we've offered in the past, financial education, soft skills, jobs training, we're actually rolling those into one workplace readiness program where we'll have the classroom instruction, but then also the practical on-the-job training where now people can apply what they've been learning and have a volunteer, an ally, a coach that can kind of help them through that process.
So tell people where you are now and where the expansion will be.
Yeah, so in Champaign, we're over on Anthony Drive on that frontage road down the road from Sam's there, 1512 West Anthony Drive. And in Urbana, we're at 1819 South Philo Road. It's actually pretty much the corner of Philo and Colorado where the county market used to be over there in that community.
Is that the building you're in? Is that the same building?
Yep, that's the building we're in. We actually, after they closed that location last August, about 2 days later, I called them and we started talking. And that progressed for many months, resulting in us ultimately signing an agreement in May of this year and then beginning to work in June, leading now towards our grand opening. And so, yeah, it's our Champaign location is about 9,000 square feet. Urbana is about 57,000 square feet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I've said that a few times. It's it's been exciting and a little terrifying all at the same time.
Where's my skateboard or where are my roller skates? Going to be a bigger place, and you're going to have a little dedication tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning at 8:30 is our ribbon cutting with city officials and celebrating with them this opportunity, really, that we're bringing to this part of the community. And it's exciting, too, because this is not just a place for our participants to come and shop. It's really a place for the whole community to come and shop. And that's how our model works, that by people coming in and spending their dollars and cents in the grocery or in the thrift, it actually funds and supports the programming, funds the credit that our participants are earning.
What's in the thrift store? What can I find if I come to the thrift?
Oh, wow. You name it. I have seen it over the years. We've got everything. I mean, obviously a lot of clothing, furniture, household items, toys, books. We have a really great partnership with the book section there with Orphans Treasure Box, who they sell books online to support adoptions. And so they're actually running this book section inside the thrift area where it's going to allow them to hire an additional person as a part of their work program. And so the funding from all the sales from the books will really send to them so that they can pay that individual. And anything above and beyond that cost, they'll actually donate back to us to help fund the childcare area. So it's a great collaboration where we're both really we're utilizing our giftedness to work together.
Yeah, I think I've given that little bookshop over 100 books. All you got to do is tell them, we've got some books we'd like to donate. Will you come and get them? And they say yes.
Yeah, they're great. We've actually worked with them over the past few years, some as far as taking books that they're not going to be able to use and sending books their way that we're not going to be able to use. And that's the great thing, too, about being present there in Urbana is that it actually makes things more efficient. So now books that are donated at Salt and Light are essentially donated to Orphans Treasure Box right there on site so they can be sorted, processed, without having to be transported between different locations. So it's a great working relationship.
Okay. Sounds like tomorrow will be a big day. What are you going to do on Friday? Take a little nap?
I wish. You know, we're certainly in a season of a lot of work. Mm-hmm. We still have...
I was going to ask you that. Is the Christmas season a big one for your thrift store and that kind of thing?
It is. We usually host an event, a Christmas event as well, that is a little different. We used to do the kind of the giving where the parents come in and pick out gifts for the kids. When we transitioned our model because of the ideology and recognizing that really just providing things for people that they could otherwise acquire for themselves actually did more harm than good, we also did the same with Christmas. So our participants, we take in new toys and we mark them down 50% or more from the actual cost. And our participants can use either the store credit they've earned or even dollars and cents to now buy gifts for their kids. And that's, you know, that's hugely empowering. You know, it's one thing to be able to give gifts to your kids that you know someone else provided, right? That can actually be damaging, you know, to the parent. I've been a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to be able to actually know that I bought these gifts and I provided these for my kids, that's something that you really can't pass up.
Well, your future sounds are bright to me, and a lot of hard work too, but so fulfilling.
It has been, and I, you know, for me, it's the ideologies and our model has really been gaining traction outside of our area as well. Over the last few years, we've had people coming in to observe and see what we're doing and look at how they can maybe bring this to their community. But Urbana is really helping us to realize also a greater degree of self-sustainability as an organization. So certainly our developmental approach has gained a lot of traction, but with that, we've also created jobs. So we've gone from 3 years ago, when we in 2014, we started the year with 4 full and part-time staff. That grew overnight with the model change, and this year we started with 17. We're going to end the year with right about 41 full and part-time staff, half of them coming from that generational poverty context. And so we're creating jobs as well in an area that needs them, and they're sustainable jobs. You know, we minimum wage in our community doesn't cut it. You have to work 74 hours a week in order to afford the cost of living. And so our cashiers start at $11 an hour. We do health insurance for all full-time employees, paid time off for all employees. So we're trying to provide a job that can sustain a family. And then in addition to that, our model is more self-sustainable. We've gone from 100% donation-based to where by you and I shopping in the store, now this year we're looking at about 65 to 70% of our funds being generated by those store operations and funding the programming. And as we look ahead to next year, we're projecting about 90% of our revenue coming through programming, people shopping in the store, with the other 10% being donations. And so we still have that nugget of about $400,000 we need to raise annually, but a much more self-sustainable model, which then becomes very replicable and can be transplanted in any community.
Well, thanks for telling us your story this morning. I appreciate it, Nathan, and the best of luck tomorrow and in the future.
Well, I appreciate you having me on and look forward to seeing you out there.
It's 10:28. We'll let Nathan go, and Brian Barnhart will be in right after that with some news headlines, and then we'll have an open line up until 11.